Today, we're going to explore how to best combat potential economic downturns, inflationary pressure, and how to identify financial planning red flags. All that coming up right now on Wealth Health Radio.
And now, Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. This is Wealth Health Radio. I'm Steve Siddall, and joining me, as always, is Joe Murphy. Joe, an investment advisor, representative, independent fiduciary. You'll find him at Murphy Wealth Management, where he's been helping folks for more than 20 years getting to and through retirement. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing really good, Steve. It's hot, but it's summertime, and that's kind of normal. What's it like down there? Is it crazy
hot? Yeah. We're on our third day of, I think, 90-plus, so there you go.
Yeah, we're sitting at 90 degrees. Good to be in the air conditioning today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep. So anyways, we're headed down to Florida, which I don't know about that. I don't know what it's going to be like down there, but I know we go to South Florida, so I know they just had some flooding, but excited to go see the ocean, just forget about finance for a little bit, because lots of stuff going on, Steve, and lots of crazy tremors in the financial world, and definitely want to break some of that down for our listeners today.
Sure. We were just talking about something that I was totally unaware of. I mean, I'd heard of it, but I didn't realize what was happening. And we're going to talk about petrodollar. And if that makes you sort of scrunch your eyebrows and go, what? Hang on, because this is a big deal.
It is a big deal. And I think, you know, especially on this station, on AM 560, you have a lot of very astute listeners that are very up to pace with kind of what's going on out there.
Sure.
And we were inundated with articles last week about the death of the petrodollar agreement. And we've also seen a lot on de-dollarization and the loss of value of our U.S. currency. So I wanted to take today's show, Steve, and kind of break that down, because we have both sides talking. We have one saying, hey, the petrodollar is dead. And what I'd like to do is go through what the petrodollar is, why it's important. And then you have mainstream media saying that whole thing is fake news. It's not, it didn't really ever happen. But the funny thing is, Steve, if you read the articles that are proclaiming it fake news, when you get to the bottom of the article, they admit that there actually was an agreement. So I'd like to talk a little bit about history. I want to talk about the history of the U.S. currency, how we got to this point in time, and why the petrodollar is important to our country, and how it can impact the economic landscape, especially for our retirees. We've all felt the ravages of inflation. You know, our dollar has lost almost 24% in the last couple years. If this trend continues and we have these external threats, it could be a dangerous situation. But what I wanted to do as a fiduciary, talk a little bit about what we do know, not what we're thinking or a narrative out there designed to sway someone's opinion. I really wanted to break down the history, because I think we can all, as educated adults here, understand and connect the dots that need to be connected on our own without someone saying it's this way. And history usually shapes a picture for us and allows us to do that. So I want to start, Steve, with talking about what's called the Bretton Woods Agreement. And this has to do with our U.S. currency, our U.S. dollar. And with the petrodollar, and what that is, it's basically an oil-backed dollar. And we have an agreement with Saudi Arabia that is basically on the rocks right now from what everyone is saying. How did we get to this point? Why is the petrodollar important? And why did it start all the way back in the 1940s? So let's talk a little bit about history, Stephen.
Yeah,
I'm going to break this down and see if we can get some logic and interpretation going here.
All right, I'm all ears.
So we're going to go way back to about 1944, and this was post-World War II. Most of the world was in disarray. There was a lot of rebuilding efforts going on, and we were trying to achieve some type of unification, some type of prosperity. War is an ugly thing, as most people know, and a lot of countries got it a lot worse than other countries. And the United States really wanted to help rebuild Europe. So in 1944, in the United States, actually in New Hampshire, in a place called Bretton Woods, there was an arrangement and there was a meeting. And what this meeting's objective was to create a stable international monetary system, something that all countries could use, could depend on, because we had a lot during back then. There was a lot of country-to-country animosity, and they were almost beggaring each other in currency wars. So the United States says, no, let's bring in the top guys here. Let's put our heads together and see if we can come up with a unification currency system system that's going to help create prosperity and unity in the future. Some of the names that were at this meeting, you may have heard, Steve, John Maynard Keynes from Great Britain, and Dexter White. And what they did at this meeting, they ended up establishing fixed exchange rates and currencies were pegged, which means they were pegged to the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar, in turn, was pegged to gold at a fixed price of $35 an ounce. We've all heard about the gold standard. This was the advent of the gold standard, which
meant— That's where it started.
That's where it started, Steve. And our U.S. dollar was redeemable for gold.
Right.
So instead of believing what our government says, hey, this dollar has value, they created a system that actually had a commodity backing that piece of paper. What did that do? It created a lot of faith in this currency. Immediately, because of this Bretton Woods agreement, we had beautiful congruity. Everyone was like, this is awesome. We catapulted to the world's reserve currency, which means that we were the top of the top. What these guys did, the good stuff, is they created the system. It did create some prosperity. It wasn't the best system over the long haul, and I'll explain that in a second, but it did catapult the United States and give us a taste of the economic power of having the world's reserve currency. It also created some side notes that most people might know. Two organizations that were birthed at this meeting were the World Bank and the International Monetary International Monetary Fund. Got a lot running around in my head right now.
I get it. Those are two very unique and I've heard about the IMF, forever.
Yeah. Oh, these are very well known. And, a lot of countries don't like them. They've implemented what's called neoliberalism policies. And they usually go into these countries with loans with austerity, which means that, hey, we're going to give you this money, but we're going to raise taxes. You're going to do it our way in basic. So a lot of these smaller countries that they're going out to help, and this is in every case, guys, it's just a lot of these foreign countries do not have a good taste of the World Bank and the other organization in there because they're promoting a political agenda along with it. So if you look up these two organizations, the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, you'll see some nasty stuff about them. But these two organizations were birthed at this meeting. So fast forward, unfortunately, the system didn't last long, and here's why. The U.S. government, with their newfound economic power, all of a sudden got a taste for spending. And Nixon particularly was spending on a lot of social programs and the Vietnam War. So all of a sudden, we couldn't do what we're doing today with quantitative easing and printing money because every dollar was backed by gold. You also had other countries at this time, Steve, that were experiencing inflation. They were having financial difficulties and they had a run on our gold reserves because they had the right with a gold-backed currency to say, hey, I'm redeeming this for your gold. And all of a sudden, Richard Nixon is like, we're watching our gold reserves deplete rapidly because other countries are panicking. He said, enough with this stuff. He said, we are taking the United States off the gold standard. And that happened in 1971. It's called the Nixon shock. And that's when we were removed from this system. And that is the beginning or the advent of the fiat money system or what's called free floating, where currencies are positioned against each other, but they're not backed by any substantial commodity. So you couldn't redeem, once we went off the gold standard, you couldn't redeem your U.S. dollar. It was basically the government says this has value. People believe that it had value. Guess what, Steve? It had value. Right?
It had value, yeah.
It had value. So going into this and in looking what Nixon did, they got that taste for spending, and all of a sudden we're going through some tumultuous times in our economy, particularly some nasty stuff called stagflation. Mm-hmm. And long behold, something happens in the Middle East. In 1973, there was an oil embargo. And this was a direct result of the Yom Kippur War with Israel, Egypt, and Syria. And what happened here was the Arab nations, the oil-producing nations, said, we're not selling any oil. Well, the United States is in economic turmoil. We're in a building phase, and we're not able to import oil because the United Arab Nations are sitting on it because they held prejudice and they refused to sell oil to anyone that supported Israel. So it created lots of shock. Here comes the closer. one of the best Secretary of States, one of the best Treasury Secretaries, Nixon sends Henry Kissinger out to Saudi Arabia, which at the time and still is the largest oil producer in the world. This is where things start getting interesting, and now we're going to start getting in the petrodollar. Before we get in that, Steve, I just wanted to see time-wise how much time we had left.
Maybe 90 seconds.
90 seconds? So before we get into the petrodollar, guys, I wanted to talk a little bit about the background and what this did. So that war really set a chain of events going forward for the United States, for the rest of the world. And what Mr. Kissinger did was he was able to create a deal that ended up generating about 50 years of economic prosperity for us here in America, but also allowed us to extend our power to throughout the globe. So this deal that he made, and I can't imagine, Steve, for one second, and I hate to say this, but I can't imagine Janet Yellen or Anthony Blinken going out and exchanging a deal like this today, although they're trying right now. So it's really interesting. The next segment, guys, we're going to get into what the petrodollar is, how it stands, and what this means if there is no more agreement with Saudi Arabia. We also want to talk a little bit about de-dollarization and the new BRICS countries. So if you've heard a little bit about the BRICS, I'm going to break that down all here on Wealth Health Radio right after this.
Hey, folks, it's an opportunity for you. You can really review your own financial circumstances. Just give us a call if you're interested. 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905. But we need to take a quick break. We're coming right back and continue our conversation on petrodollar and more right here on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
When we come back, we're going to break down the petrodollar and what it means for your retirement right after this.
We're back on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy. I'm Steve Siddall, having a great conversation, learning a lot today, Joe. And again, this is a story. This isn't just a story. This is going to has the potential to affect all of us. But again, I think knowledge is power. And thank you for filling us in on the background of petrodollar and what that means and what it is and what it could mean.
Of course. And I wanted to kind of pick up where we left off last segment with the closer, Henry Kissinger, going out to Saudi Arabia and the
yes.
deal that he was able to negotiate for the United States of America. And basically, this agreement, which was supposedly secret at the time, said that the Saudi Arabia would only sell their oil in U.S. dollars. Furthering that, Kissinger also furthered the agreement and said, not only will you sell your oil only in U.S. dollars, but any excess dollars that you have, because remember, oil is big money. You know, we're talking about hundreds and millions of barrels of oil being sold. This is not a small drop in the bucket. This was very financially lucrative for Saudi Arabia as well. And when this started, this agreement with the United States and selling this in U.S. dollars, it expanded our power incredibly. And the excess cash that the Saudis have, they were encouraged to invest those excess dollars in U.S. treasuries. So we had two ways going here.
Okay.
So if I'm a country, Steve, during this period of time and I want to buy oil, it means that I have to have U.S. dollars. All these countries now settling in U.S. dollars, our U.S. dollar is going out throughout the world. It's creating a lot of power. And then you have all the excess money coming in and buying U.S. treasuries. And if you're unfamiliar with U.S. treasuries, that's government debt. So as these countries are funneling money to our government, it's an influx of huge cash. What did that cash do? It allowed us to keep interest rates historically low for a very long time. It also allowed us to create an incredible amount of political power and reach throughout the world. It allows us to impose sanctions because remember, if you're holding U.S. cash and you don't do what the United States wants you to do, what can we do? We can freeze your assets. We can impose sanctions. So it created a vacuum of power for the United States. Plus, it masked a lot of the spending. The beginning of the funny money period, Steve, was as a result of the petrodollar because of the amount of global countries that were buying U.S. treasuries and using U.S. dollars. It created 50 years of economic prosperity for the United States. It's a really, really big deal. And being the world reserve currency and having that much power, everything started off really, really good. Everything, and like most things,
well.
Yes, it started well. Unfortunately, some of the Arab countries didn't like the United States looking over their shoulder, did not like the United States telling them what to do. And there's a couple examples in history, and these are not good people. So it's almost like killing two birds with one stone. And the very first one was back in 2000 that many of our listeners will probably remember in Iraq with Saddam Hussein.
Yes.
And what Saddam Hussein decided is, hey, I don't want the United States in my business. I want to be a dictator. I want to do things my own way. I'm not listening to the United States. So he tried to negotiate his oil sales in the euro. And his first deal going away from U.S. dollars, he was a very lucrative deal. Well, what do you think the United States said about that? We're experiencing all this power, all this wealth, all this control. And then all of a sudden you have some dictator in Iraq saying, hey, guess what? I'm going to go outside you guys. Well, immediately that preceded the invasion of Iraq. The United States got to kill two birds with one stone. We got a really bad person off the planet. Mm-hmm. And we got to reinforce the other countries that were maybe thinking of looking around and to say, nope, we're going to stick with the U.S. dollar. It's all going to be settled in the U.S. dollar.
Boy, yep. It gets complicated, doesn't it, Joe? Goodness.
It really does, Steve. And another example was in Libya with Gaddafi. So Gaddafi, another horrible person,
yes.
But what he decided to do, he wanted to unite Africa under a common currency backed by gold. He had this grandiose idea, and what he wanted to do was get away from the United States, get away from their control, get away from their power. So he created something called the gold-backed dinar. And as soon as that word started going out, Gaddafi did not meet a good end, and that ended that. And, you know, like, again, these are not good people, but it just shows any threat to a successful system to the United States. And there's always something that you got to look at in the narrative, and our economic prosperity in this country comes first. And they were protecting what the system that has given us all that prosperity. So these two guys went, and they're no longer with us. And that was the United States flexing their muscles, saying, this is our system, this is our agreement, you're not going to go without it. And again, two people off the planet. So all these global countries now basically forced almost, if you want oil for your country, you got to have U.S. dollars. And the U.S. dollar is now, remember, not redeemable for oil. You couldn't just change your dollar bill for oil, but it's implicitly backed but not redeemable. And I think that's a very important distinction. Unlike the gold standard where you could trade it in, but what did it do? It was almost better for the United States. So what did we do? We started moving our foreign policy. The U.S. started gaining more and more influence throughout the world. We did not want any threats to this deal. And since oil was needed for everything in our world to build, all of a sudden, the excess in the treasuries that were coming in were just massive. And this allowed our government to operate basically without impunity on spending. And I'm not talking about actions or economic. It allowed us to spend larger amounts because of the control. So if you look at some other countries that maybe said, you know, I'm just not buying this U.S. dollar and this petrodollar. What happened back in 2023 with the Russian sanctions? And I think this is really important. What it ended up doing, Steve, is the sanctions that we imposed on Russia, because remember, they wanted to buy oil. And back then with Nixon, remember, we were in the Cold War. And Russia was sitting on a lot of minerals and a lot of oil, but the fall of the Soviet Union, they were disarrayed. So us getting this petrodollar allowed us basically to bypass the Soviet Union during the Cold War. It was a massive win all the way around. And now we're defending it, and we don't want it to go anywhere. So where is the threat, and what is going on with the petrodollar? So you're going to hear, and maybe if you're on social media, you've seen the death of the Saudis have refused to sign the agreement. And then we're getting articles out there from like MarketWatch and Morningstar that are saying this is all fake news. So I'm looking at history, guys, and looking at the economic prosperity that the petrodollar has created for the United States. And if you look just a couple years ago, 3 years ago, almost every single oil trade was settled in U.S. dollars. Now, all of a sudden, fast forward to 2024, and a fifth of oil trades are settled in non-U.S. dollar currency. There seems to be a shift. There seems to be a shift, and that shift is probably to lessen the United States' influence on world policies. Remember, a lot of this stuff, the geopolitical stuff, it can be very complex, and there's so many moving parts. But when you all boil down to it, Steve, what does it really come down to? Money.
Money.
Money. It's all, and if you look to see where the money source is and where it's going, you can usually find your answer. So as I'm researching a lot of this stuff, as an investment advisor, I need to understand what's going on with the world, what's going on with our economy. So as we've been able to mask and use quantitative easing, quantitative tightening, and use this new found leverage that we did not have with the gold standard in this influx of power and wealth from the petrodollar, where does that leave the United States right now? And why are we seeing some of these countries now settle in outside U.S. currency? I think it's a big deal, Steve. And I think that that's why you had a lot of people promoting the end of this deal, whether it was in secret or whether it was real. It is for sure. And the United States gave Saudi Arabia defense. They gave them arms and in exchange for selling this in U.S. dollars. Now you fast forward to today, and that news that came out is the petrodollar agreement will not be re-signed by the Saudis. And then you have these articles in mainstream media coming out saying, it's just all fake news. It's all fake news. And I pulled one in particular that I wanted to discuss. And if you're at home and you got a second, there's an article by Joseph Adolfi, I think his name is, from MarketWatch. And the headline on it is, "Reports of the petrodollar system's demise are fake news. Here's why." And this article ends up going through that this is all fake, this never happened, this agreement was fabricated. And then at the very bottom of the actual article, it says this agreement never existed. In the very next sentence, it says this agreement did existed, although it wasn't nefarious. This was a deal done in good faith between Kissinger and the Saudi kingdom.
So why would it be anything else?
Exactly. And that's where we have to look behind the veil, Steve. And you look at the narratives that are being promoted out there, and you look at fake news. And why would they do that? They don't want panic. They don't want people looking at our currency and our status. Because remember, without all these countries buying all these U.S. treasuries and using the U.S. dollar, that exposes us. It exposes us to high interest rates. It exposes us to higher inflation. When we don't have all this cash free flowing into the country, we're exposed to that in a much greater sense than we were before with that cash. So this is a threat to the United States. And what has the Fed been doing? They are the buyer of last resort. So as China stopped buying treasuries and now we're having less settlement in U.S. treasuries, now the Fed is forced to buy these treasuries. How long can we keep doing that? How long can we keep these rates this low and have the Fed buying these only U.S. treasuries? To me, that's the real crux of the question. And what trick does the United States have up our sleeve to extend the dominance of the U.S. dollar? And if we look through history, Steve, and let me just stop right there. If we have, I don't know where we're at with time.
Yeah, we can take a break almost.
Why don't we take a quick break? And then I'd like to go in. When we come back, guys, what we're going to talk about is the history of currency, especially global reserve currency. There's been six throughout history. And I think if we look at the detailed progress of those currencies from the rise to the fall and map the United States and where we are on that map, I think it illuminates a lot of new ideas of where we could be in the future. All that right here on Wealth Health Radio right after this.
Hey, folks, again, we need to take a break, but we're going to continue our conversation with Joe in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. We've got a whole lot more Wealth Health Radio and petrodollar information coming up right after this. We are are back on Wealth Health Radio having a fantastic conversation about petrodollar and does it exist, doesn't it exist? Depends on where you look, I guess. And Joe's trying to straighten it all out for us, doing a great job. Taking us through this process, Joe, I mean, this is really good stuff in terms of, you know, things that I think the average person should know.
I think so too, Steve. But when you go on social media or you watch the news, it's all designed to lead. And, you know, the petrodollar isn't anything new. Cryptocurrency right. fanatics and promoters have been using this as the demise of the U.S. dollar to get people to buy digital assets. This has been happening for years.
So that seems to be working.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Look, you know, they're promoting this. But remember, fear motivates. And this my show is not designed for fear. It's designed to educate, to allow people to make their own decision on what's going on and what's not. The only thing I'm really looking at here is history and what has happened in the past and what may happen in the future is anyone's guess, Steve. Nothing ever happens the way we think it's going to. And you have a lot of crypto promoters out there or gold promoters out there saying the U.S. dollar is dead. Well, the U.S. dollar has been the world currency for 60 years. And it has been a strong currency. And we have exposed ourselves throughout the world. And most countries are still, you know, 60% of countries are still settling in the U.S. dollar. Saudi Arabia's currency is pegged to the U.S. dollar. So there's always balance in between understanding extremes. And of course, extremes sell. So you go on social media, it's going to be, oh my gosh, the sky is falling. You go on the news, it's all fake news. I want to come somewhere in the middle and just talk about what actually happened in history, what we do know. And, you know, it's fun to kind of think, all right, what could happen in the future? But remember, whenever you're dealing with stuff like this, it's I always say this, everything happens slowly and then it all happens at once.
Yes.
You ask someone that, you know, maybe went through some tough financial troubles, they'll say, you know, it was a slow process or bankruptcy or something like that. And then it all happened at once. You know, you're watching it real time. So my goal here today is just to educate people, to let them know, yes, we did have an agreement with Saudi Arabia. That's for sure. You know, all the oil trades, you know, for the past 20, 30 or 50 years have not been settled in U.S. dollars for no reason. And we're not providing Saudi Arabia defense, you know, defense of the kingdom for no reason. We're not getting that influx of U.S. Treasury purchases from excess petrodollars for no reason. Look, there's an absolute, you can look at the absolutes in this situation. And whether it was official or not, they say secret, it doesn't matter. This was in existence. We know this was orchestrated, and we know Henry Kissinger was there and had an agreement with the Saudis. This is something that has helped the United States catapult into economic prosperity, and we are looking to defend it at all costs. And it makes sense why Biden and Blinken are trying to recreate a security deal between Israel and Saudi Arabia. And right now, to me, looking at that, and, you know, obviously, if you do believe in the death of the petrodollar agreement, why is Biden and Blinken making a sweetheart deal with Saudi Arabia now all of a sudden? It doesn't make much sense. And in promise of the deal that they're negotiating, as long as Saudi Arabia normalizes relations with Israel, we're going to provide them with more defense. We're going to provide them with more advanced weapons and a civilian nuclear program. So these are all the things that we're looking at. What's real? What's not? We know these chain of events. We just don't know for sure because the government isn't going to release this to us. But we can chase the money. And when you follow the money, the answer is usually there. And that's why I wanted to talk a little bit about world currencies, to give people world reserve currencies, excuse me, to give people an understanding of how important it is to be a world reserve currency. Everyone out there is going to use your currency. And when you have everyone using your money, you have control. Because again, what can you do? You can freeze those assets. And
sure.
If you're forced to settle in a certain country's currency, they have some domination over you. And that's been throughout history. And what we've seen going forward is the United States is not afraid to exert that power at all, in the least, and to our benefit. But when we look at history, Steve, since 1840, there's been 6 world reserve currencies. So we're looking at Portugal, Spain, Belgium or Netherlands, France, Great Britain, and the United States. So the United States obviously has been the world reserve currency for about 60 years. If we look at those other countries, Steve, and their rise and then demise of their status as the world currency, what we usually see is during the first half of that phase, of that run of being the world currency, during that first 50 years, there's fiscal responsibility. There's less spending. They're really good governments, and they watch like a hawk. And then as you see more power is exerted and more control, you start seeing the tail end of this world currency domination from each of these specific countries start going off the rails. Why does it go off the rails? Excessive spending. These politicians start figuring out, well, hey, I'm getting all this money, I have all this power, I can spend more and more and more and more. And that's really the issue that all of these have had. And where are we in this map? You know, we were ripping for the first 60 years, but what are we starting to see in our country today? We're starting to see massive debt. You know, there's almost $35 trillion in debt. Steve, that's a $1 trillion interest payment. Do you think we're ever going to pay that off?
No. Can't see how.
I can't either. And then you have less and less countries really looking to settle in U.S. dollars because they want to get out from under our thumb. So we're seeing less and less treasury purchases. We're seeing less and less countries using our dollar. Our influence is definitely declining, and that's proven. Again, when you look at the oil trades, 3 years ago, they were all settled in U.S. dollars. Now, a fifth of them are not, and that trend will continue. So how does China and Russia play into all of this? You know, as we are the world reserve currency, as we're experiencing inflation right now and the loss of purchasing power of our U.S. dollar, what is China and Russia doing? And look, these are our competitors. When it comes to trade and comes to economics, Russia and China, is China specifically, is one of our biggest competitors. So what has China been doing this whole time? They've been desperately trying to get the domination of the dollar off the board. And they started an initiative called Belt and Road. And instead of investing their excess trade surplus or settling in U.S. dollars on their oil trades, instead of buying those U.S. treasuries, they're investing in infrastructure like land and commodities. They're buying around the globe. So instead of that money coming to the United States government, it's enabled China to start really exerting their influence. And they're trying to line themselves up to become the next world currency. You know, Japan probably has something to say about that as well. But as we saw back in, I think, 2023, the sanctions that we put on Russia actually helped catapult. It didn't hurt Russia. It actually helped catapult China's baby, and I'm not going to say baby, but it's the BRICS. And this is an organization of five countries that want to move away from the influence of the U.S. dollar. They want to create their own currency to settle trade. And right now, obviously, the finance experts, and this is no disrespect to anyone in China or Russia, they're just not like they are in the United States. And they've had a lot of trouble creating an exchange for this trade. And one of the big things with the BRICS currency is, what is it going to be backed by? And they didn't want to run into the same thing that we ran into when Nixon dropped us off the gold standard, the limitations of having a gold-backed currency. So they're looking at something that is really, really smart, and it's gold-backed bonds. And I think that makes a lot of sense for that BRICS country. But as they gain more and more traction, less and less is coming to the United States. And we're watching it happen in real time. Is it happening quickly? No, not at all. But is it happening? Yes, it is. And we have five countries in the BRICS, and that is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. These are the five OGs. These are the guys that said, you know what? We're doing our own thing. This represents, Steve, almost 40% of the world's population.
And
yeah, and they just signed on four new members: Egypt, Ethiopia, Iran, and the United Emirates. So Saudi Arabia and Thailand are considering joining. There's also some other countries looking at this. So if you look at the BRICS, definitely educate yourself on this exchange system, because a lot of countries are starting to look at this and saying, hey, let's try and depower the U.S. dollar and get away from the United States control. Let's create our own. Let's start creating our own power base and our own ability to facilitate trade without interference politically. And I think that's the one thing that was appealing to these other BRICS countries. China promised, we don't know if they're going to deliver, but they promised against political interference, where we know the United States, if we don't like what's going on, we are stopping it. And you know what, to me, I like the actions that we've taken in the past, but China has promised we will not politically interfere. We'll allow you to free flow and run your country as you see fit. That is an advantage to some of these countries that maybe are not run like our country. But is this thing really going to take off? I think it depends on what the United States does from here. I really do. I think that we need leadership. And I think one of the reasons, Steve, that people are so attracted to President Trump is that he is not status quo. He is not a traditional politician. He is not looking to create a deal that may benefit everyone but the citizens of the United States. He's going to do things a little bit differently. And we are at a precipice with this BRICS traction. And which way is this going to go? Nobody knows, guys. Is it going to happen overnight? No. And this is not something to panic over, but it is something to be aware of, because what would that do? It would impact our economic landscape. Imagine if inflation goes up another 25% over the next couple years. You know, retirees specifically, and that's why I'm interested in this, Steve, because retirees, now all of a sudden their dollar going half as far on a fixed income, there's going to be some trouble here. And we might have some economic turbulence going forward, depending on how our government addresses this issue. But their immediate response to say, fake news, fake news, fake news, doesn't bode well with me with action. And having Blinken go down there and negotiate this deal with Saudi Arabia, or they're close to it right now, which basically has no benefit on the surface that we know about to the United States. It basically allows Israel and Saudi Arabia to play nice. But what do we get out of this? Did they create a side deal very similar to the petrodollar, where the Saudi Arabia is going to settle in U.S. dollars? I don't know. But as we're watching the BRICS build, and just remember, the president of the BRICS is Russia, okay? They're the holding chair of the BRICS, and there's a summit in October, and I think they have a lot of countries that are interested in joining up in this. That is going to devalue our dollar. And if you look at our dollar right now, in the next segment, Steve, I'm not sure what we have on time, but
We got maybe 30 seconds, so we need to take a break.
Yeah, so we're going to take a quick break here, but I also wanted to address another thing that we see from the crypto world and also from the gold bugs is de-dollarization. You know, the loss of value of our dollar. Is this really happening? Are all these events lining up to lose value into the U.S. dollar? That would impact us. But we're going to break that all down right after this, guys, on here on Wealth Health Radio.
And you know, our goal here at the show, help to make you make the best decisions for you. So if you do have questions about things we're talking about, what Joe's talking about, you know, give us a call, 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905. We do need to take another quick break, but we're back. Another segment to go on Wealth Health Radio with Joe Murphy.
When we come back, we're going to finish up with some fact or fiction on de-dollarization and what's coming up right here on Wealth Health Radio right after this.
We're back on Wealth Health Radio. I'm Steve Saddle. Joe Murphy's here. Joe, of course, more than 20 years helping folks getting to and through retirement. You'll find him at Murphy Wealth Management. The website is mwmfinancial.tax, mwmfinancial.tax. And so this segment, Joe, de-dollarization. Now, that's a word I've seen bandied about, you know, probably the last few years.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. It's definitely, again, you know, it's created a lot of traction in the crypto world. And it's one of the reasons why a lot of people gravitated towards digital assets, because they see the vulnerability of traditional currency. So it does hold value. But remember, everything happens slowly and then it all happens at once. But I want to preface this, guys. If you're just tuning into this right now, you're like, what is this crazy investment advisor talking about? What we're trying to do here is there's been so much, like almost a firestorm on social media about the petrodollar, about de-dollarization, what it means, and everything's going to be chaos. And then you have mainstream media coming out there and saying, wait a minute, guys, it's all fake news. Don't believe anything. As with most things, and I think you could probably agree with this, Steve, the truth lies right in the middle. So what we wanted to do on this show was not generate panic, but talk a lot about the things that have happened in history, what's happened and what may happen as a result. Again, guys, none of this happens overnight. We're not going to wake up tomorrow and our dollar is valueless. We're not going to wake up and find ourselves, you know, as a third world country. Those things are not going to happen overnight. But as a financial advisor and as an investment advisor, it is my job to understand the geopolitical events that affects my clients' money. And understanding some of the actions that have taken to date can help me garner some predictions of where we think it might be in the future. And there may be some rocky heads. Steve, you heard me say this on the show many times. I don't believe, and this is my personal belief, guys, this is not advice, but I don't believe that the next 10 years are going to be like the previous 10 years. One of the main reasons why I say that, guys, is because of these events. You know, the petrodollar catapulted the United States into prosperity. And to think now that there is a rival with BRICS coming up and gaining more and more traction really puts a threat on the U.S. dollar. And if we look at our main competitor, especially when it comes to trade, it's China. And just remember, China, when they were admitted to the World Trade Organization, and I may be off on this date, I think it was 2011 or 2014, when they were admitted to the World Trade Organization, they were buying, they were using their trade surplus to buy massive amounts of U.S. treasuries. They were one of the largest holders of U.S. debt on record. They held over $1 trillion in U.S. treasuries.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot, Steve. And what we've seen now in the past in Q1 of 2024, they've sold $56 billion worth of U.S. treasuries. Again, this is not going to move quick, guys, but if you look at, what is that, 5%, you know, 6%, somewhere around there?
Yep.
If you look at that trajectory per quarter, and if that trend continues, we might have some issues, because if you have liquidity drying up from the U.S. government, we have an inflationary environment. What that does is that all of a sudden, all these countries that are holding U.S. dollars may look and be like, wait a minute, this thing's losing value. Inflation doesn't look like it's going anytime soon. What do these other countries start doing? They start dumping U.S. dollars. That would exacerbate inflation. And that's one of the reasons why I think Jamie Dimon is out there saying, hey, guys, I think rates might be going up here. And one of his big things is excessive spending by this government. Look, every time, and right or wrong, and it doesn't matter what you agree with, where we're spending money, but when we're sending money to the Ukraine, every dollar that goes over there devalues your dollar. It buys less. Every time we forgive student loans, your dollar buys less. So all this crazy, massive spending, and then you couple it with the debt, it all has an impact on us, not just today, but also in the future. So as we're seeing China hopefully not dumping all their U.S. treasuries at once, I don't think they would do that, but as we see them start escalating the sale of U.S. treasuries and U.S. debt holding and moving more towards the BRICS and trying to create their own world currency and gain traction against the U.S. dollar, look, the U.S. dollar has been king for a long time. You know, these other countries, their power base is on their own end. You know, they don't want the United States basically controlling what they can and can't do. So they're trying to split, and they have a decent idea with the BRICS. Whether they'll pull it off or not is anyone's guess, but it is happening, and it's something that we need to be aware of. So as we're seeing, and if we look at the world currencies of previous and where they started falling, the same thing started happening. Excessive spending at the tail end of the world currency status. And then you had other countries, when the inflation started going up, saying, I'm not holding this, I'm dumping it. It exacerbates the situation.
Sure it does.
It's a catalyst. And that is the de-dollarization, the loss of our value, the loss of purchasing power. We've all experienced it. Steve, you've experienced it. I've experienced it. You go to the grocery store, you see what's happening. Our dollar is not going as far. That is the loss of purchasing power. That is the deadliness of inflation. And right now, we are reliant on our Fed and this administration to pull us through. Are they going to be as savvy as Kissinger? And is Blinken going to be a stand-in and create, you know, a masterclass in negotiation with the kingdom? I don't know the answer to that. But my guess from what we've seen and what they're agreeing to, the answer is no. But again, we're not privy to the side deals of maybe settle in the petrodollar. But sure, we do need to do something to hold on to our power base. And I'm really hoping and praying, Steve, that this administration can figure it out, or we make room for the next guy that we all hope and know can. And that's really where we're at with de-dollarization, is losing the value of that dollar. We've seen it happen in Venezuela. We've seen it happen in other countries where all of a sudden the cash is in the streets. I hope that never happens in this country.
Oh my
gosh. No, I mean, it would be complete chaos. But we do need to take action that helps the United States, that helps our citizens, that protects the value of our dollars. And I know the Fed is doing everything that they possibly can, but if other countries start dumping the U.S. dollar or moving away, it's a threat, and a threat is real. And whether there's some secret agreement with the Saudis or not, it doesn't matter. It still impacts the value of our dollar. And we're looking at oil. It does explain a little bit, Steve, if you think about it, why this administration in particular has really pumped the EVs, the electric vehicles, and moving away from combustion. Maybe they saw the writing on the wall that this was happening and say, hey, you know what? Well, maybe we just don't want to deal with oil anymore. We'll just remove ourselves completely. And then I think they got into that and realized, well, wait a minute, everything runs on oil.
Yeah, so that's nothing going to happen. That, but you talk about not happening fast. That's not happening.
Yeah, exactly. And that, and again, that's speculation, guys, just looking at this. And I'm digesting this as well with everyone else. We've done a lot of research on this. And, you know, I don't think there's right or wrong. Like most things, it's not black or white.
Right.
There's shades of gray. You know, there's varying degrees on all of this stuff. But if you look at history from the Bretton Woods Agreement all the way to the petrodollar and what's happening right now with BRICS, there's a story to tell. And I think, of course, whenever there's a story to tell, people will tell the extremes. What my goal is out here is not to have people get panicked, but educate yourself. Understand what's going on. Do a little research on the background of how important currency is and how important having economic power in this world is for our country. You know, education goes a long way. So when someone comes out with scare tactics, you know better. And unfortunately, we're not privy to all the information, but the pieces that we can put together paint a very interesting puzzle or picture going forward. And I don't know, guys. I wish I knew what was going to happen next. Steve, I don't know if you have any guesses, but
I got nothing. I just have questions.
Yeah. And you know what? I have questions too.
So, Joe, let me ask you this. What, you know, talk about de-dollarization, and I've heard this over the years that, okay, the U.S., you know, the dollar will no longer be the world currency. And that, to me, seems like, could that really happen?
Of course it could. And that's why I wanted to talk about the history of the world currencies. And look, they all rose, they all fell. And the reason why they fell was excessive spending, inflation. You know, really bad situation compounded by the other countries that were holding that world reserve currency, dumping it. So are we there yet? No, I don't think so. Look, the United States is still king of the world. You know, we're still economically, I mean, we're still the king of the world. But are these other countries gaining traction? Sure they are. Is it something to keep an eye on? Absolutely. Have we lost 24% of our purchasing power in the last couple of years? We have. That's why this has my attention. But that's why I wanted to do this show and get the word out for people to start doing your research. You know, I don't have all the answers to all this stuff. There's a lot of opaqueness out there on this information, but we can piece together history and get an idea from what's happened in the past, what may happen in the future. History never repeats exactly, but man, you can get a good inkling on what may be coming by understanding how those pieces fit in the past.
Wow, what a great show, Joe. This has been, I mean, eye-opening, and certainly for me, I'm going to do a lot more research now just because of that. I want to know more.
Yeah, and that's exactly what my point was. And we're not going to do any, you know, we'll take calls if you guys need anything, but we're not going to do the reviews this week. Actually, Amber and I are headed down to Florida for a little vacation, but I wanted to bring this out because there's a lot of nasty stuff going around on both sides. So I wanted to bring this out to encourage people to do their own education. And
that's
if you're
the key, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Come up with your own conclusion.
Then you're bulletproof. Then all the, yeah, you need to do this now or everything's going to fall apart. It doesn't affect you. It doesn't cause you to make a decision. That is my goal as a fiduciary, is to educate my clients. And that's why I had to bring this out today. Is it all right? We don't know. You know, we don't know for sure, but are those events happened in the past? They have. What's going to happen in the future? Anyone's guess, guys, but be prepared. We want a sound financial retirement for all of our clients. Being educated helps, and going with the right firm that understands, especially that it's not just stocks, it's not just fundamental research. There's a lot more that goes into it, and you need to be aware. So whether you're doing it on your own or if you want an investment advisor to help you navigate this tricky situation, this is what we're here for. Steve, give our listeners that magic number. Everyone have a great week, and we're going to talk again next week.
800-930-5905. That is the number, 800-930-5905. Really, we're just helping you make the best decisions for you. And again, Joe giving us a nice background on really important things. And I hope you enjoyed it. 800-930-5905. That's 800-930-5905. Joe, as always, a pleasure. What a great show. Again, very enlightening.
Well, I hope so, Steve. And again, everyone have a great week. Stay cool. It's summertime, and we'll talk again next week.
The content of this radio show is provided for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any type of securities. Joe Murphy, MWM Advisory Group, and Murphy Wealth Management are not responsible for the consequences of any decisions or actions taken as a result of the information provided in this radio show and do not warrant or guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information provided. The information discussed today reflects the views of Joe Murphy and his guests as the date of this show and are subject to change without notice. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Any forward-looking statements or forecasts are based on the assumptions and actual results may vary from such statements or forecasts. No reliance should be placed on any statements or forecasts when making any investment decision. Accordingly, listeners should not rely solely on the information provided today in making any investment decision. There is a risk of loss from investing in securities, including the risk of loss of principal. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment will be profitable or suitable for a particular investor's financial situation or risk tolerance. Asset allocation and portfolio diversification cannot assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses.